The new iPad arrives in two new countries today. Facebook's camera app. Yahoo inflates their App Store reviews. AirPlay apps say bye-bye to the App Store. And E.T. on its way to Blu-ray. It's Tuesday, May 29th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. I hope everyone out there enjoyed their extended weekends for Memorial Day, that is, if you're in the States. And to kick off today's show, I just wanted to start off with some iPad news. First up is the happy fact that today, May 29th, the Philippines and Guam start selling the new third-generation iPad. The new iPad is now available in almost some 90-odd some countries, quite impressive for its relatively new status. Here in the States, though, getting a new iPad just got easier. Besides relatively good stock at the retail chains, the online wait has dropped to 1 to 3 business days. This happened sometime last week. The next bump will most likely be within a 24-hour time frame for shipping, making it pretty much available whenever you want it. Last up in iPad news is a pretty cool prototype found on eBay. The listing shows real pictures of a dual dock connector original iPad. The current bid is around $5,000 with the buy now at $10,000. The auction will be done sometime tomorrow, or should I say today, as I record this. It'll be sometime today, the 29th. So I'm curious to see, first off, if this will actually get sold, as Apple has been known to pull down sales of such prototypes. According to the eBay listing, for sale, iPad first-generation prototype slash tester unit. This is one of a very small amount of Apple prototype devices, and you rarely see these on eBay. This iPad has 16 gigabytes of capacity and is incredibly unique. For starters, it has two dock connectors. Apple prototyped these iPads to have this connector late in the process and at the last minute decided to remove them. There are patent drawings and leaked casings that show the intention for this, but nothing ever came to the market, as you probably know. This iPad, incredibly, is fully functional and representational of this design, so both dock connectors work. It's not only unique in its hardware, but it's running Apple test software called Switchboard, which is used to test the device's functionality. This iPad has been refurbished to the best of this guy's capability, and there are some things intentionally disabled by Apple not to work. This iPad is fully functional, apart from the touch screen, which that's a big thing that doesn't work, so just be wary of that. It may or may not be able to be fixed, and it's currently running, I should say, iOS 3.2 in beta form, and it may or may not accept the 3.2 standard that Apple shipped out, or even iOS 4 or 5, so that's unclear as well. It was built sometimes around late 2009 or early 2010, and has the iPad trademark dates back to 2009, so that sounds logical there. And basically, that's it. I mean, it's a dual dock iPad, and it's pretty cool to see this hardware in the flesh, or should I say, in the imagery, because it's a cool design, and it's interesting to think what would have been, because this is a prototype from late 2009, early 2010, and this leads to speculation that Apple changed their mind or had both of these designs, a single dock and a dual dock, side by side, and they just decided to go with one or the other. So the dual dock lost out. It's listed at a buy it now $10,000 if you really want it. And if I was a millionaire, this would be something I'd be interested in snatching up. It is intriguing that Apple chose to do a dual dock connector as a prototype. And I kind of wish it shipped because it's intriguing. Go really well with the iPad keyboard dock back in the day. Now, out of some iPad news, let's move on to Facebook. So first up is a new app dubbed Facebook Camera. The app was developed a long time before the Instagram acquisition, but the app seems to have learned a lot from the Instagram team. The app presents you with a feed of photos from Facebook, just like Instagram. The app lets you get photos from your camera roll and allows you to take fresh photos and apply filters to them, just like Instagram. Unlike Instagram, though, you currently need location settings turned on to use this app. The interface is also quite unique and presents a nice alternative to Instagram for those heavy Facebook users. So it integrates directly with Facebook And for me, that's a killer. I need Twitter integration. I like the Instagram place, so I'm going to stay there. This also answers to me the question of why Mark Zuckerberg bought Instagram. It sure would be helpful to get the advice and help from the masters of photo sharing for this Facebook camera app. If I was Mark, why not bring them aboard Facebook to help them beef up the Facebook camera app? So the app is nice, but I think I'll stick with Instagram for now. Another Facebook news is the revival of the Facebook phone story. This is the third time this story has come up, to my knowledge. According to the New York Times, the company has already hired more than half a dozen former Apple software and hardware engineers who worked on the iPhone and one who worked on the iPad. One engineer who formerly worked at Apple and worked on the iPhone said he met with Mark Zuckerberg, who then peppered him with questions about the inner working of smartphones. It did not sound like idle intellectual curiosity. Mark, according to this dude, said he asked him intricate details, including what types of chips are used. The story also notes that in iOS 4, Apple was planning on integrating Facebook into it in the same way they did Twitter a year later. I'd be curious what kind of phone Facebook would create if they did one. I don't think it's a terribly bad idea if it's done right. Now on to some app news. There are two big app stories today I wanted to talk about, Yahoo and AirPlay. First up is Yahoo. They have been pumping up their Yahoo Access app reviews. Several notables have been seen as rating Yahoo Access with high five-star reviews from Yahoo themselves. Such names include Yahoo's Director of Product Management, Ethan Batersky, Yahoo's Network Operations Center Engineer, Brian Koch, and Yahoo's Patent Counsel, at least he's from Yahoo's Patent Counsel, David Ishimaru. I'm not sure if this is a terrible thing to like your own product. I just hope Yahoo didn't force their entire employee staff to review Access. I'm betting they did a little bit here, and I was surprised, certainly, when I found a high number of reviews for Access almost immediately after it was released. So it does bring in the question, how many of these reviews are from Yahoo employees rather than end users? In other Yahoo news is Yahoo killing off one of their coolest apps, that is LiveStand. According to The Verge, in November, Yahoo launched the LiveStand iOS app, a much-hyped living magazine app. A few months later, it now being May, coming up on June, the company is shutting down this product. Executives announced during Yahoo's latest quarterly earnings call that it would be discontinuing a number of its products in an effort to consolidate the company's focus, and LiveStand was one of the casualties. I'm quite surprised by this, as LiveStand is quite frankly a good app and brings some nice competition to Flipboard. The other big app story of the day outside of Yahoo is AirPlay. According to Rogomiva's blog, the maker of Airfoil, a great AirPlay app, they've been informed that Apple has removed Airfoil Speakers Touch from the iOS App Store. We first heard from Apple about this decision 2 days ago. We've been discussing the pending removal with them ever since. However, we still do not yet have a clear answer on why Apple's chosen to remove Airfoil Speaker Touch. Needless to say, we're quite disappointed with their decision, and we're working hard to once again make this application available to you, our users. If you recall, they recently had a huge update that let you stream iPhone to iPhone, and it was really, really cool. And I paid, I think, $3 for this, an app that came out just 2 weeks ago that was fully supported by Apple. Back to the blog. As far as they can tell, Airfoil Speaker Touch is in full compliance with Apple's posted rules and developer agreements. They've already filed an appeal with the Apple's App Review Board and waiting further information. Unfortunately, Apple's full control over app distribution on iOS, leaving them no other alternative here. Airfoil for Mac, I have it, and it's an incredible app that allows you to send audio from your Mac to any AirPlay-enabled speaker, and before today, iOS devices as well. It does all this over AirPlay, and it's quite an awesome thing, so I'm really sad that Apple decided to kill this off. With that said, Airfoil wasn't the only victim. Apple also removed AirFloat. Like Airfoil Speakers Touch, AirFloat allowed people to send audio to the iPhone from a desktop machine. There's no word yet as if this app will get any recourse or any ability to come back to the App Store, but it's not looking good for these apps. Sad, sad news indeed. Closing out this show today are just a few odd and end stories. First up is Apple now selling the Nest thermostat. Tons of Apple retail stores are getting stock of this thermostat, and I find it incredibly cool that ex-Apple employees created a brand new company, a great product, and it's good enough even for Apple to sell. There's no spite at all for Apple having these ex-Apple employees create something awesome, and they're going to be selling it. It'll be priced at $250 when it goes on sale in the coming days or weeks or maybe a month or so. Another news, I just want to highlight that audio from one of the Jonathan Ive recent interviews is now available. So if you want to listen to that audio, it's up. You can head on over to iWakePodcast.com, find the show notes for today's show, and there will be a link to that audio. So there you go. And then finally today is E.T. coming to Blu-ray. So far, all we know is it's going to be a digital remastering of the original from the 35mm film. And it will include 7.1 surround sound, and hours of bonus features will be included. I'm not sure how much they'll expand beyond what was done for 2002's special edition DVD, but only time will tell, I guess, as far as special features will be included. Sorry about that. And then also it's unclear if they'll include the special edition released in 2002. They added some extra scenes and did some things for that release. So unclear there. What we do know is you'll have a better version of the original back from 1982. No release date or pricing is yet available, but it's expected to hit the shelves before the holiday shopping season. And, oh yeah, Jaws, that's getting a Blu-ray treatment this year as well. It'll arrive on August 14th, that is, unless Universal changes their mind as far as release date. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like the show, please head on over to iTunes and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. It does a lot of help. And also, if you really, really like the show and want to financially support, you can do so. Head over to iWakePodcast.com/again. The $10 a month subscription here gets you an extra show every Saturday that no one else gets except for you, the person that pays the money. And you also get a way to support the show financially. The Monday through Friday show is provided to most people free of charge. And if you want to pay for it, that's how you do it. iWake again. iWakePodcast.com/again. Join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Aloha.